What is up, everybody? Yes, yes, mic check, 1, 2. This is the pop punk, alternative rock and emo show on the interweb. This is Plenty of Noise. Thank you all for tuning in again. If you are new to this, let me introduce myself real quick here. My name is Nick. I'm your host. I am a musician myself. I sing and play guitar in a band called Cadet Carter. We are based in Munich, Germany. I am half Welsh, half Bavarian. That's where the funny accent comes from, in case you're wondering. I'm really happy you guys want to check out this show. This is my little podcast thing that I've started out of pure boredom during the COVID-19 pandemic. I started this just as a bad excuse to get to talk to friends and people I've always wanted to talk to about the music we all love, about the music business, about the art of songwriting, and about everything else concerning being in a band and being around musicians and around rock bands in 2020 and 2021. It doesn't matter what year it is, does it? So it is 2021 though, I'm pretty sure. Thank you all for tuning in. Hey, I've got some great guests for you on this one. This was actually one of my favorite conversations so far. We have a band called Dim on the show tonight. I discovered the band through their drummer, really, because their drummer is a guy called Ben Cato. He used to be the drummer in one of my all-time favorite bands called The Dangerous Summer. I was gutted when they announced that Ben had left the band, and I was wondering, you know, what is it that Ben will be up to next? And when I found out about his new band, and when I heard the first single by his new band, I was just, it floored me, to be honest. I was so excited. I couldn't really believe that he found three guys again that he could do such, that he could play such great music with. And I can't wait to show you what they have just released. And also, I'm not going to bore you any longer with this introduction. This has been one of my favorite conversations on this program so far. Here is my conversation with the band Dim on Plenty of Noise. Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
Nick!
Motherfucker, it's so good to see your face, man.
It's good to see you, too.
Lifetimes, dude.
Thanks for doing this.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Oh, cool. It's midnight in Germany, so I've just crawled out of bed about 20 minutes ago. I have to work in the morning. Anyway, it's all good. Thank you so much for doing this.
Dude, absolutely, man. So this is Nick and Matt and Chuck.
Pleasure to meet you guys. Howdy. How are you all doing?
Oh, we're doing so good, man. Just grinding, dude. Just getting this live set dialed and, you know, I guess, you know, we've been sitting on the record for a good while now, so it's slowly creeping out into the world, and it's I mean, you know how it is being in a fucking band. It's just like you feel like you sit on your songs forever, you know, so it's just like finally taking that time to really enjoy, like, oh my god, there's finally a fucking song out there where people can fucking hear. Just like me sneaking my buddies like a private stream and shit, you know.
Do all the songs feel like already old to you guys? Like, are you already working on new stuff? Because we all do have plenty of time to work on new music right now with all the touring not going on.
I know, right? And I think it was one of the guys from Don Broco, I saw them say, like, well, there's no gigs, we might as well just keep recording.
Exactly.
And that, like, really resonated with me. So, yeah, I mean, we definitely, you know, we're playing around with about five new demos right now that are in different forms of, well, they're very much in the embryonic stages still, but yeah, I mean, I definitely say that we're not even tired of the old ones yet, because it's the projects still, there's so much creative discovery going on.
And, yeah.
Just a lot of like kind of natural momentum that I'm stoked about. And I don't know. I mean, it all still feels really fresh and exciting, you know, and
cool.
I'm stoked about it.
So the thing is that, you know, one of the main things why I wanted to get you guys, like, first of all, this is like, you are in the middle of a podcast thing called Plenty of Noise that I've started out of complete boredom in.
Yeah. And I love it, dude.
In August, it's like September of last year, because there was just fuck all to do, you know,
right.
First and foremost. And I've kind of developed a real passion for it, just as an excuse to get to talk to other creative people about what it's like to be in a band.
Night we were on the road out there too. I was telling them, I was like, dude, I'd be at these sick fucking pubs in Germany. I would be up all night with this kid talking about all types of existential shit and music and everything. Like, I think it's like a cool niche for you, bro. You're
cool.
Like, that's your vibe.
I appreciate that. This has become kind of a podcast where we like talk about the music business and like the art of songwriting. And try to write, like, really dive in deep into all of that, you know, that's why I wanted to have you guys on the show, because first of all, you have kind of started out now as a band. Like, I've been following some of you on Instagram, and also, it's not your first band, is it? Like, for all of you. So you've been around the block a few times, just like myself. But now you started out like in the middle of a pandemic, really. Mm-hmm. And I wonder what that was like. Like, was there a moment where you went, so we might just like postpone this shit for like 18 months, and then the opportunities that we have as a band would be way better with like probably some tours on the horizon and just a different environment?
Yeah, I mean, that's, I love that you asked that, dude, because the entire project has been such a unique opportunity, because two of the guys live here at this house where I went into business running a small recording studio where I live, just north of Atlanta. And we were just able to keep our heads down and just grind out a record. You know, it was like,
the pandemic brought us closer.
Yeah.
Allowed the project to actually like form and blossom.
Cool.
So, I mean, we've been hanging out every single week since, you know, people went on lockdown and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of us daily.
Yeah.
that's so cool, because most bands I get to talk to, like, there's a lot of bands that I've been following on social media, and they've just completely shut down their businesses, really. So they were like, I can't do any tours. I might just, sit on the couch for the foreseeable future. And that's just not my approach at all. So we were like, in my band, we were like, hey, we've got all this time on our hands now. Our last record came out in May of 2020. Yeah. So it was like,
how are the boys, dude? How are they doing, dude?
They're all, we are coping. It's pretty difficult in Germany right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm half Welsh. That's where the funny accent comes from. And and so the people that I talk to in Great Britain, they are, you know, they can see the light at the end of the tunnel right now, with the vaccination program being really like well on the way. But in Germany, it's dark right now. So people can't really leave their houses, and there's a lot of people in hospitals and all that kind of stuff. It's bad. But as long as you like stay at home, guitars don't really give you COVID. So you can just hear, this is my little basement studio that I have. And we meet up here every week, like twice a week, three times a week, and just record new stuff. And, you know, have that be our creative outlet in times where we can't really go on tour and present our music to people. And if like when you guys say that actually brought you guys closer together, that's actually pretty cool, because there's no bad thing on earth that doesn't have at least a bit of a good thing coming with it, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
So, and Ben, you were kind enough to like send me a link to listen to the record. When this airs, the second single will be out. Mm-hmm. So this is gonna be released in like 2 weeks time or something.
Yeah.
And to be quite honest, like I'm not going all fangirl on you again, Ben, but I'm a very avid runner. I like to do a lot of running. It's another pandemic thing that I've started.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been listening to the record like nonstop for the last
week,
something. So it's really, it does give me goosebumps every time. It's such a unique record.
Yeah.
I was wondering, like, how do you guys write songs? Because to me, it doesn't really sound like some band member coming into the room going, this is what I've written.
You play this,
you play that. So it's very, don't get me wrong, it is a very catchy record, but it doesn't sound like one guy being the primary songwriter and the rest doing like, I could do this on the bass, or I could do that drum part. So it's
right,
feels like you guys do like a bit of jamming.
absolutely, bro.
And that's how the songs come together. If you could talk about that.
Yeah, you want to handle that one?
Yeah, I mean, I would say we all kind of like bring riffs together. So I mean, it is, we meet up to practice, we jam a little bit, and it might be, hey, I've got this chord progression, and then Nick will be like, oh, I can play this on it. And then, you know, Ben hears an idea, and you know how Ben plays drums, he doesn't just play drums, he, you know, manifest this like speaking ability with his toms.
Oh, I know, yeah.
So, you know, we'll get a riff going, and then I can say every melody and every lyric was written in practice.
Wow.
So it wasn't like we recorded it and then sat down at the studio and then I wrote to the songs. It was, we've got riffs, we're jamming it, and I'm asking, hey, well, can we loop this song for 30 minutes? And then writing it in that kind of flow state, and, you know, coming up with a gut melody, and then whatever lyric kind of hits me. You know, a lot of musicians say they can't really take full credit for what they write, because it just kind of comes to them.
I totally agree with that. I would totally agree.
Songs have like some deep meanings, but other ones were just kind of like, in a sense, riffed and put together. It was, oh, I have this melody and these lyrics are coming to mind. And then the meaning of the song came from that one channeled line, in a sense.
Did you feel comfortable writing lyrics in front of the other guys?
Oh yeah, hands down. Like, as soon as I got something, I like show my phone, I show them.
Really? That's my worst nightmare. So we've been trying that approach, and so we have this song, and I go, I'm gonna write something real quick. Yeah. And nothing would come. Like 15 minutes of three guys staring at you going, come on. What you got, man? What you got? And I was like, I've got fuck all, man. So it's the pressure that kind of approach puts on me as a lyricist is unbearable to me. It's just, it does.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm, you know, I'm impressed. I admire that. I couldn't do it. But you would agree it is kind of a group effort. Like
we can't say anyone wrote one song or anything. They were all written as a group, as a band.
Cool.
It's I would say probably the most unique project I've been a part of, because that access to flow has been so natural. You know, it's like you mentioned, you could sit there for 15 minutes and nothing comes up. And it's like, sometimes I've written a song within like 5 to 10 minutes, because it just kind of like pours out. I don't know why.
And those are some of the best ones too, dude, they manifest really quick.
Probably because you don't think about it too much, because you don't have the time to do it. So you just pick the best lines, like it's a gut feeling, and you go, that's good. And you don't overthink it too much.
I spent too much time over obsessing over lyrics and melodies and like, is it good enough or is it this? And I took that approach of like, I'm not overthinking it. I'm just allowing it all to kind of happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all kind of did that with every single part that we contributed. It was just kind of like, you know, this is where we feel the song moving and going.
This show is mainly about, shall we say, pop punk and emo music, for a lack of a better word, really.
Yeah.
So, with you guys, I felt that description of your sound doesn't really fit. It's not a pop punk record to my ears, really.
Sure,
not at all. I can see the aesthetics though, so I can feel where you guys come from. I know a bit about your past, obviously, so it doesn't really come as a surprise all that much. But I think when you guys started out, I hit the follow button on your Instagram page, and it said pop rock band from Atlanta or something, and I thought that was. A good way to start out, and also it didn't mean anything to me in the first place. So, like, what are you like, are you going like all Goo Goo Dolls now?
Yeah, I love that
because that's like, to me, that is like the classic 90s infused alternative pop rock band from the States. Early and mid era
Third Eye Blind's kind of up there too.
Yeah, Third Eye Blind, and that's a funny thing though. Third Eye Blind are a one hit wonder in Europe, so people know that one song.
Yeah.
And if it comes on the radio, they go, that's a good song. And then you go, that's a band called Third Eye Blind, and no one has ever heard of them. Never.
They just know like Jumper or like Gradual.
No, not at all. They're just, I mean, the Goo Goo Dolls play like probably 2,000 capacity spaces in Central Europe. It's not really, I reckon they play stadiums in the States. So,
you and me were talking about this at the pub a few years ago on tour. I remember that. It's like, unless you're like Foo Fighters, like nobody comes out like in regards to rock, I think, especially outside of Germany, which I think is really interesting. Like,
so we were on tour with Dave Haas, if you've heard of him. He's like he's part of that, the Gaslight Anthem kind of
bubble,
New Jersey kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And he plays about 1,000 capacity spaces in Europe. And we were on tour with him, and he said, it's the other way around though, right? When he goes on tour in the States, he has really, it's a struggle. So he's back on the, like in a small van, and he's like 42, the guy's 42. So he's been around, he's been around for 20 years.
Yeah.
And when he comes over to Europe, he's like on a nightliner thing, and it's all very organized, and he told me like this feels like the stuff that he always wanted, you know, like a proper touring musician. And when he goes back home, it all goes the other way, and he's back in like this punk rock thing, playing shoeboxes every night in front of like 50 people.
I would honestly prefer that, man. Like, you know, they say the grass is always greener, man, but like, god damn it, I love it over there.
That's
dude.
Probably true. So the thing is, when we are outside of Germany, the good thing is that I'm not very German, you know.
Right.
I have a Canadian ID. I was born in Wales. It's horrible. But people don't really. So when you play Germany as a German band, they don't really like you just because you are from around here, really. Yeah. So it's not that attractive to them. That's the thing that I think, Ben, we've talked about.
Yep.
We were on tour. That, you know, to don't let anyone know that you're a German band. I wonder what that's like in the States. Like when you go on tour and you play, let's say, the West Coast, which is not where you are from. Like, does that make you interesting to people, or do people go, oh, they're not from the West Coast, they can't be any good?
I don't necessarily think that those type of dynamics manifest in like a live show setting. But how do I put it? I guess I notice anytime I go overseas, it's like there's just in general, like whether it's because I've gigged a lot in the UK especially, and I noticed it in mainland Europe as well. It's like in the States, all these kids will get like clicky and they'll be like, well, I'm here to just see like this band and then I'm dipping. You know what I mean? And when you go to Europe, it's completely the opposite. Like people go to see a show and they watch every fucking band. So like, that's the only thing I've really noticed touring extensively. I don't think it's like, oh fuck, you guys are from Delaware, so I can't fuck with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a bit like that in Germany, especially. So when you play Berlin, which is like the only really important city that we have, and they go, so where are you from? And we go, we're from Munich.
Yeah.
Munich? And they go, like, really? How did you get into rock music? So they think that we're all running around in our lederhosen all day and drink beer and, you know, like listen to, I don't know, trumpet music. So it's a very different thing. Another thing that I wanted to talk to you about is the way you guys release music, because we do have, I think we do have a lot in common on that one.
Yeah.
We have become a completely independent band, mainly out of necessity, really. So
yeah.
We do run our own recording studio. We release everything ourselves. We try to do the videos ourselves. We record stuff ourselves. And I think that's the same with you.
Absolutely.
Was that like an intentional decision? Like, did you go shopping for labels or something? Or were you guys like, we don't need any of that stuff. We'll just put it out there.
Well, you know, it's funny because we did shop a little bit. You know, a buddy of mine put the record in Fearless's hands. They passed. He put it in Pure Noise's hands, and we never got an answer. So I'm assuming they passed.
And probably. I didn't say.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, oh, he's still on his honeymoon. I was like, well, it's been 4 weeks. I guess we'll just call it a wash. It's fine.
Yeah.
But anyways, there were just all these signs pointing towards, well, fuck it. Look at the state of the world. Like, it's leveled the playing field for artists. Fuck it. There are no rules anymore. Let's just put it out. No. Let's do whatever, you know? And having the close relationship with the studio here at the house, and you know, working with some local bands around here in Atlanta, and like starting to like develop that producer's ear, and then how it goes back into your own band and everything. There were just all these things manifesting that were just like, we just have to keep this as organic and us as possible, and like you said, just like do everything as much ourselves as we can. And, you know, we met this dude, Arnley, that's one of Maddie's homies, and he's from Chicago. And like, he flew down and like, we shot like two videos and stuff. We're like, okay, this guy's one of us. Like, let's integrate him, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's like another dude that we're going to work with a lot. But yeah, keeping it very, very close knit. And
I think we would entertain a label.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I've ran into situations and heard from other artists who have, you know, been signed by even major labels, and getting signed too soon kind of puts you in a hole. You have no sound yet. No one knows what you sound like. And at that point, the label's involved. So they have their writers. They want their writers on their songs.
Yeah.
And they control the sound that they want you to be. Whereas if we release it independent, you build hype, you build a following. One, you have more negotiation power, because at that point you have actual fans. Two, you have an actual sound. And three, they can't really determine how you're going to sound because you've already created it. They already know what you are. So, you know, I'm glad we chose to do it that way, because I have some friends who are major labels who are having a hard time figuring out who they are and what their sound is, because, you know, the label has too much they have too much skin in the game because they signed someone before any original music was really out. So I'd rather release a whole record and say, this is who we are, and build a following, build a fan base. And then at that point you have a little bit more of a, you know, negotiation power and a full say on, you know, what you are and what you sound like.
The thing is that I, you know, now hearing Ben talk about like you guys sending the stuff to Fearless or something and they would pass on this, I always thought, like, when I was out there running with your record in my headphones, it was like, they always go, like, all these label people, they go, you've got to be like as honest as possible, you've got to be open, you've got to be accessible, I think is the right word, to everyone. And then someone does record a like an album that's like so open and the lyrics are so like accessible and people can relate to it, and the music is very unique, it doesn't sound like anything else, because that's what I heard, you know. I was like, I can see where you guys come from musically, but right. It does, so you could really feel like the that you guys were going for like a unique sound, and we don't want to sound like anybody else, we want to find our own way. And then that's where it gets unattractive for labels.
Oh, absolutely.
So they go, oh, they, those guys know who they are. So there's nothing for us to do here, you know, apart from putting the record out and like calling radio people all day long.
Right. It's very paradoxical, isn't it?
It's funny, isn't it? So they always, they always go for newcomers, but they shouldn't be like, they shouldn't be all completely new, because you can't sell anything to to people that know nothing about it. So so that's the first thing, but they don't want you to find yourself as a musician or an artist either. So it's you can't win. That's my that's what I've taken from that. You can't
It's a super weird game, dude, but I believe really firmly now, and after everything I've experienced playing music for 25 years, like just that whole Robert Frost road less traveled thing, man. There were so many guys that I worked with in the past, and you know, I have like a huge history with all these dudes, like growing up playing in bands together in Atlanta and shit, and like working with producers. And I'd have guys come at me, man, and be like, well, do you want to make art or do you want to make money? And it's like, well, fuck you, dude. I feel like I can do both. Like, what do you mean I have to choose?
Also, you didn't, like, no one got into this to become rich.
Exactly.
I've never talked, like, it's always, hey, you guys want to make money with your music? No. I started playing guitar at age 10, you know, because I was just, I loved it. That was it. It's a passion. And if people pay you for it and you can make a living, or at least you can make parts of your living by, you know, playing music, that's fine. But everybody, I mean, Brian McTernan was the first guest on the show.
Oh, I love him, dude. I've met him very briefly when I was working on Golden Record, and I was just like, dude, I punished him hard about, you know, that Cave-In record he did. You know, I mean, obviously there's so many big records, but Cave-In's like a huge one for me.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite Boston bands. And that, his drum sound that he gets, you know, is just so iconic.
Have
and
you heard his new band? He's in a band now again. Be Well.
Yeah, they're super good. And, you know, Paul Levitt mastered our record, so I still keep in touch with Paul a lot. And Paul interned under Brian.
Yeah.
And Paul, not long ago, was like, man, Brian keeps asking about you, dude. He's like, I think Ben's like one of these old hardcore kids, isn't he? Isn't he? He like...
Yeah, yes, like, he is.
Very good. No, oh, yeah, I love McTernan, dude.
He was Brian McTernan was the only guy who went, I'm not capable of releasing music on my own. So I'm like, I don't know, 46 years old. I haven't played the like streaming game and all that kind of shit. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Right. I'm the studio guy / singer. So I write all the songs and you guys put it out there. But he was the only one. Like all the other guys went, so nowadays you have to like go independent to make at least a bit of money and to keep your creative control. Because by the time, like Matt was saying, by the time you get in touch with like mainstream people or like major label people, they try to like turn things and squeak things and go, can you do it like this? Or how about we leave the solo out, so it's a 3 minute 30 pop song, and you don't get on the radio, and you still don't get on the radio. That's the thing, because rock music, at least in Europe, no one, like, there's no radio anymore for guitar music, let's say.
Right.
So it's a completely independent thing. I don't know. It's just a niche.
I think it's going to come back though, dude. I really do. I talk to a ton of buddies about this all the time, how my buddy Josh Withenshaw, he was in that band Every Avenue. You remember Every Avenue?
Yes, I do.
Me and him talk about like 20-year cycles with like trends in music. So like now I feel like we're kind of on the cusp of the end of like everybody's like doing the 80s thing. You know, there's kind of like this revitalization of, you know, like synth wave and all those kind of subgenres that were really popular in the 80s. And like, I feel like now you're starting to see bands like do the 90s thing again. You know, it's like we're about to get in that thing. And I think when that happens, you know, guitar driven rock is going to be a big deal again. But, you know, it's funny. Just like what you're saying, man, like unless I'm in LA and somebody puts on like K-Rock radio, like there's not really any radio that's playing that shit, you know.
There's no national rock radio station, is there? Like, people that like people from Seattle to I don't know Miami, they go, I'm a rock guy. I listen to that radio station. That doesn't exist, does it?
No, they're streaming. Yeah,
that's another thing. So, are you like you do? Sound like an album band to me. So albums are like your weapon of choice. Instead of like playing the streaming game, that's a huge discussion on that show, like rock musicians having to adjust to like the new era where people want like one song to put into their playlists.
Right.
And then you do another song like 3 weeks later and you do another song and that goes on for like a year and a half, and then, and then you put out an album, which is basically just a compilation of all the stuff you've already done.
Right.
So
it's like, you've got like 10 singles at this point. Like, what have you been doing a record?
What's the point? I mean, I don't get that, but I've found that rock musicians do have a hard time adjusting to that. So. Because we are all album people, so I own 3,000 CDs. You know, I'm 35 years old. That's like I'm the CD generation. So I've only recently got into vinyl. It's a completely new thing. It's all very
exciting. It's so addicting. I'll warn you, bro.
People keep telling me that, and so I'm an album guy, and I don't really get the whole playlist thing. So when your song came out, I was like, I dig this. I wonder what's next. So it's not enough for me. So you know, can they do that for like 12 songs? Like, can it be this good for like 45 minutes? I wonder.
And, fuck yeah.
And most people go like, I got what I came here for. It's a 3 minute 45 pop song that I like. And they don't really become fans of that band anymore, do they? So they consume the music, but they don't really want to know anything about like the stories behind the songs and what the stories behind the guys in the band, because that was what was fascinating to me when I started out, like, who are these people?
Yeah.
Like, why do they sound the way they do? Not necessarily what chords do they use or what like effect pedals do they use, but Who are these people? What makes them who they are?
Well, like Chuck went down with this rabbit hole. He found this old Deftones documentary that was like bootlegged from the early 90s. He was like, dude, check this out. This is like inspirational as fuck. This is just like, some fan made it or something, didn't
yeah they? I think it's an unofficial documentary. It's on YouTube. I didn't get the name of it.
And I love shit like that, you know, just like you're saying, like, who the fuck are these guys? Like, what are they doing? You know, like,
it's a topic that comes up in every episode, because I always say I sound like a grandpa here. So always complaining, oh, what has the world come to? Blah, de, blah, de, blah. But I really like, do people still make like fan bootleg documentaries about their favorite bands? I don't know. Is that a thing that still people still
it's
do?
It's definitely less common. But dude, yeah. I'm stoked to tell you that we did film everything, and
like a 17-minute long video.
Yeah, we edited it down and it's ready to go. So closer to album release, we're gonna put that out, like a little mini doc about the cool. genesis of the band.
Cool.
And everything.
Cool. People appreciate that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, like you're saying, man. And he's always putting on old skate videos at the house and shit. You know, it's just like...
Keeping it real.
Yeah, I miss that shit. You know, it's like, I want to see how these people live, you know? Like, that fills my cup, man. That, like, really fucking... Really
so,
vibe, you know?
So, what's the scale of that whole band then? Like, are you guys, like, going for, like... all in, like, do you guys want to go on tour and like
play
the game?
Absolutely,
because like I can also see bands nowadays being more or less like studio projects, you know what I mean? So the thing is, musicians are adjusting to the situation, and I've talked to people that were like, I never liked touring all that much anyway. It's so much work. You're away.
See, that blows my mind. I love tour. You know, like, tour's amazing. You know, like,
I love touring for the first 10 days.
I totally get that.
And then you like wake up on a van and someone like, and they all smell terribly and you go, I could be home.
Yeah, that's how you know you really love it, man. I totally relate to it for sure. But you know, I always me and my old drum tech TJ, you know, we always call it being out at sea. You know, man, I miss being out at sea. You know, it's fucking pirates. You know, like I can't get enough of that shit. To me, tour is like, for lack of a better term, your Heisman trophy, like you busted your ass on the record and now you get to celebrate the record, you know?
But it's also, isn't it like, it does feel like a struggle to me as well. So, we're a very, very, very small band. So we have to like really fight to get like 80 people in a room.
Right.
And like, I don't know, a 10-hour drive away from our city. So, I would just jump off stage and shake everybody's hands going, thanks for coming. Thanks for coming. You paid to get in. Wow. Great, man. And so that's really the thing that blows my mind the most. But it does feel like, are you guys thinking about doing any live streams or that kind of stuff anytime soon?
I'm sure it's coming down the pipeline. You know, we've observed a lot of artists put a lot of weight into that, and our kind of trajectory is just, well, maybe if we work really hard, maybe we can put out two records this year, or at least have the next record ready to go. You know, like, we're just, that kind of momentum is manifesting really naturally. And yeah, I mean, we'll definitely do some live streams. But I think that's kind of where our focus is right now, is just continuing to put out music as much as possible.
You know? It's not that easy, the whole live stream thing as well, is it? So, because when the first lockdown hit Europe, our record label at the time, we're an independent band now, but our record label at the time, they were like, so your record is coming out in 4 weeks. Is there anything you can do? So I started out like on a bar stool in that very space, like in front of my cell phone, playing on an acoustic guitar, thinking, this is bullshit. And then you would just like, you would hit the last chord of the song and you would look into the lens of the camera going, guess you're clapping. Thanks. Yeah. guess you like it. So yeah. That was that. That and still, it still feels weird to me. It's it's nothing that I enjoy.
Yeah,
like, putting it out there right now because I'm not editing this.
Right,
I hate it. But but it's basically it. I guess it's the only thing we can do right now to, like you said, like celebrate a record or celebrate the songs that we've done with other people. So. There's no way around it, I guess.
But did you see what do you fuck with Pine Grove?
Yeah.
Did you see what they did? I thought that was incredible.
I must have missed it. What did they do?
So it was like this whole live album and they filmed the whole thing and they just like dressed up this living room, but it was almost like a short film.
Yeah.
And it was the most inspiring shit I've ever seen. Chuck showed it to me because I like that band, but I'd never really done a deep dive. And I mean, God, what, like an hour and a half long?
Yeah, I think it's close to an hour.
So yeah, each song's like a different like vibe, I guess. So, like,
cool.
One could be like in a kitchen or like another room or.
So they did try to make like a piece of art out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Cool.
Dude, you need to watch it. It's fucking awesome. You'll definitely be inspired.
I will. We tried that as well. We went to like a huge venue in Munich, and they didn't have anything to do, so they let us in to like shoot a what we called a concert film, and we did when we sold tickets and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And we met at John's house. The night it aired, you know. Yeah. So it wasn't really a live stream. We were like announcing it as a live stream, but it was like a pre-recorded thing. And do you know when you're out on tour and you play the show and you look at your cell phone afterwards and there's like tons of people like writing to you on Instagram or liking your stuff, so you can really feel the buzz going, like there was a gig tonight.
Yeah.
And you go to bed and people write, that was a great show, man, and all that kind of shit. That was the only time we felt that during the pandemic. So we managed to like put up some sort of happening.
Yeah, so yeah.
Something was going on. Yeah. People had liked our band.
My heartstrings, man. It's been so long. Fucking shit.
The same thing. So I didn't really knew I missed that. Until it happened again. So cell phone would go ding, 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 ding. And you would, oh yeah, that was, that's what it was like back in the day. So yeah, cool. I don't want to take up too much more of your time.
Dude, it's all good.
When this whole pandemic thing's over, please come to Europe as well. We'd love to have you.
We're dying to get
you guys hit me up. We can set something up.
I would cry.
We're working.
If we can play shows together again, bro.
We're working on something that's kind of a similar thing to a Warped tour around Europe. So we're talking to people.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, there's always a space for bands like you on that bill.
Hell
so,
yeah.
So love to have you sometime.
Absolutely, dude.
Keep making the music you make. Oh, when will the record be out? Is that something we can tell people about?
Oh yeah, we can talk about it.
Well, we're dropping another single on April 30th. We'll have another single come out May 28th, and then a fourth single on June 25th, and then we'll be releasing the record probably that second week in July.
Cool, man.
I think like July 9th or July 16th, somewhere in there.
A summertime record.
Yep.
Awesome. Cool.
And hopefully have another brand new single by like December or something. Yeah. We'll give people a few months to jam it, and hopefully we'll have tour. Not a tour. I mean, maybe we'll get on a tour in the fall. But hopefully we'll have some shows we can do around here in the States in the fall time, and hit people with a single, you know, before the year ends out.
Awesome.
So yeah,
I can't wait for that. I'll be following. Okay, you guys. You have a great rest of the day.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, you too.
Cool. Anytime, buddy.
Oh, man, I missed you so much. I'm so happy.
It's great to talk to you again. It's been a great couple of days in Europe in 2018. I keep telling people. That. Was it 2018? I think it was.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. The first tour when you guys were back. Must have been like June 2018 or something.
Cologne was one that really stuck out in my mind.
Yeah, same here. Cologne, man. It's so a great city to play. You guys should definitely check it out if you haven't.
Oh, hell fucking yeah, dude. I love those basement shows, man. I'm all about it, dude. We I never knew how much I miss loading gear up or downstairs. You know what I mean?
It's always when you want to like murder the bass player if you come.
Yeah, dude.
8x10 MPEG thing.
The 8x10 cabinet, dude.
It's only 16, like 16 floors down.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Just kick the fuck.
Yeah. Horrible, man. Horrible. But also great. So.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Wouldn't want to trade it for the world. Okay. You guys have a great rest of the day. I'll talk to you guys soon. Yeah, I'll be in touch before this show airs, so you guys don't miss it.
All right. Hell yeah.
Listen to yourselves. Talking about yourselves.
Dude, hug the boys next for me, man. I will. Tell them I miss them, brother.
Gonna see them tomorrow. I'll say hi.
Fuck yeah.
Okay, you guys. Hey, I'll talk to you soon.
Bye. All right, dude. Auf Wiedersehen.
So there it was, my conversation with one of my new favorite bands called Dim. I want to thank Matt, Ben, Nick, and Charlie for taking the time, for talking to me, for keeping me up all night, because after that conversation, I think I listened to their album like 3 times in a row. So I got to bed at like 3 in the morning, but it was all worth it. And I'm not gonna let you guys wait any longer for you to make up your own minds about this band. I'm gonna play you their debut single called Start Over Again by Dim. And with that, I'm going to leave you. I'll say goodbye until next time. We have some great guests coming up on Plenty of Noise. I can't wait to show you guys what I've been working on. And until then, here's some great music. This is Start Over Again by Dim. I'll see you soon. This is Nick. Bye-de-bye.
We start